Lord, may we hear your voice and know your presence among us this morning. Amen. In life, there are many, many difficult things that confront us. One of the hardest things, one of the most challenging things that we must ever face is buying a new pair of jeans, or worse, so I'm told, a new bra. We like to buy the same thing that we've always bought because buying something new is just so difficult because they just don't fit like the old ones did. The colour and the shape, and there are just so many to choose from. It just drives you crazy. So you can see why having one thing is really important. Because with one thing, we can concentrate, we can center ourselves, we can focus all our energy on standing upon one thing that works. And it's hard to mess things up when you only have one thing to do. It's no wonder that the Pharisees came to Jesus to ask him what his one thing was. But Jesus gave him not what he wanted, but what he needed. Jesus gave him not one thing, but two. The question posed by the Pharisee was simple. Teacher of God's law, tell us which of all the commandments given by God to Moses is the greatest, the most important, the preeminent one above everything else. Now, of course, the question asked is rarely the question that was meant. And no doubt Jesus had come up against this many, many times in his ministry. But Matthew places this question here for a very important reason. It comes towards the end of a series of questions that the authorities raised with him. Questions that challenged his authority, questions that were designed either to trip him up or to turn everyone off this Jesus. Tell us, they said, which is more important, religion or politics? Tell us, Jesus, about how good your theology is, if you can unravel the mysteries of the resurrection. Tell us, self-made rabbi, which is the most important law in all the laws of Moses? We should remember that Moses was given 613 commandments to cover everything that the Jewish people could ever imagine. Everything from how to keep time and seasons through to managing things like marriage and family, food and diet and clothing, through to how to do business and keep servants and slaves, manage your property, and how to organize a temple. 613 commandments. So you can imagine why they wanted to know which one Jesus thought was the most important. The Pharisees believed that these laws were so condensed and so important that they needed rabbis to unpack it all. So if God told people to rest on the Sabbath, then rabbis were needed to help people understand how to rest in a busy, confronting world, which was always changing and never the same. This is why they wanted to know from Jesus which one was foundational. And by answering it, Jesus would show his true colors and reveal whether he was with them or against them. Would Jesus be a hardliner who would say that every commandment was the truth revealed by God, and so abandoning any one of them would bring God's anger down upon them all? Or would Jesus point simply to the 10 big ones that Moses received on Mount Sinai? Or would this Jesus just be all soft and mushy and say, well, because they're all old, it's just time that everyone moved on? How would Jesus answer this question? The most important one, Jesus said, is to love God. And I wonder if they all nodded sagely at this point in agreement. Because loving God wasn't simply a matter of liking God or even being curious about God. Loving God was a singular matter. To the Pharisees, it took all of a person's heart and soul and mind. It took all of their desire and will and intellect. It required everything within you to love God, to the point that no one and nothing else mattered. But I think this was the problem. This problem occurs time and time again among those who are single-minded, who see God's truth as mattering more than anything or anyone else. Because those who claim to be focused only upon God have a curious tendency to think that God only believes what they believe and that God affirms only the things that they affirm and that God only agrees with them and that they are God's spokesperson. The problem with standing upon this single point is that anyone who disagrees or sees things differently to you is automatically wrong, or worse, even a heretic. Because to disagree with them is to disagree with God. No wonder Jesus doesn't stop with one commandment, but he says that a second is like it. The second is not merely subordinate to the first in order and magnitude. They're on the same level, side by side. Love God, love your neighbor. You've got to put your energy into both of them. It's not one and then two. It's not one over two, but two. Side by side is Jesus' point. If getting one commandment is hard to get wrong, then it's really difficult to get two commandments right, because they knock you off your point where you're standing. With one rule, you can take your stand, but with two, it decenters everything. You need to try and keep balance between two points. Jesus showed his true colors, all right. He stood among leaders who always insisted upon compliance to God's rules, their interpretation of God's rules, above everything else. But in Jesus' view, God's truth, God's own rules for living can't be put above love, because love is the heart of God's way of life. Anyone who puts truth above love has not only failed to understand that love is God's truth, but they have profoundly misunderstood God's character in the process. Many people still make this mistake today, the mistake of putting God's truth above love, thinking that God's law matters more than God's love. It's a problem that distorts everything. If our country has a problem believing in God, it's not because people are such a godless bunch. It's because we've done such an awful job by giving them a distorted vision of who God is. Many authorities, both then and now, tend to present God as someone who is more like Pharaoh, someone who is exacting and demanding, someone who is unreasonable and unyielding, someone who is unforgiving. And who can ever love someone like that by giving them and us two commandments, to love God and to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Jesus plunges all of us into a three-dimensional space, a space where we have to learn to balance this love of God, our love of neighbor, and our love for ourselves. When we love God to the detriment of loving others and ourselves, we become hard and obsessive, blind to the consequences that always follow. No wonder Jesus challenged the Pharisees over and over again about finding the lost sheep and loving sinners. But loving our neighbors without loving God or ourselves, well, that only turns us into exhausted martyrs. And loving self without loving God or neighbor, well, that just turns us into a self-indulgent lot. No, we need these three loves, these two commandments, in order to find balance in our life. Now, of course, one love is easy to manage, but three loves and two commandments, well, that's just a recipe for dropping something, isn't it? That's just a recipe for making a mistake, because try as you much, as hard as you like, you are going to drop something sooner or later. You're going to take your eye off something, you're going to trip up, you're going to fall on your butt, and it's going to make a great big mistake. And I think that might just be Jesus' point, because giving us two commandments and three loves is to waken us up to a new and a deeper reality that we just can't keep the balance ourselves. It's only when we drop things, it's only when we make a mistake that we realize that it was never up to us in the first place. Because when we fail to live up to these things, we discover that God is the one who loves us with all of God's heart, with all of God's soul, with all of God's mind, that God has given all his desire, all his strength, all his creativity, all his power to love us and our neighbors in the person of Jesus, who reaches out to us even when we can't, even when we won't reach out in return. The kind of balance that we need between loving God and loving our neighbor and loving ourselves is the kind of balance that's needed by a dancer or a snowboarder. It's the kind of balance that moves in three dimensions. It's not stable or static, but it's fluid and ever-changing. It's the kind of balance that is confident of taking a leap into the air, because it knows that landing on your butt is just something that's going to happen. And when it happens, it helps you to learn to keep your balance. God wants the best for us, and that takes love. And when we realize that God has held nothing back in loving us, with all of our inconsistencies and flaws and mistakes and stupidity, it begins to open us up to the reality that God loves our neighbor like this too, with all of their craziness and terribleness and stupidity. And that if God can love both of us in this way, then maybe, just maybe, we can take the risk of leaping into the air and loving somebody else as God loves us all. Amen.